Let's begin tonight in Daniel chapter 3. And we will ask God's blessing. Father, thank you again for this day that you've given, and do now bless this holy book that is in front of us. And Father, help us to understand the things that are your will for our lives. Pray that you would now instruct each one of us through this word, and bless us all through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to cover a subject that we covered many years ago on the faith of the three men in the furnace. But we'll maybe divert a little bit from that after we look at them and just get a little bit of understanding of the nature of faith and where it takes us. So to begin, we will read the third chapter of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, I can't get these musical instruments because they all end with the wrong sounds and I'm mixing them all up. At what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This story comes to be a favorite with everybody who is a Bible reader. You start loving this story when you're a little kid, when you're first reading the Bible, and almost the whole thing is boring because it's a little bit over your head. It's stories like this that stand out and that you remember and that you love. And you don't quit loving those stories when you get older. It's the things that we like about the Bible. These kind of stories. They feed us something. And we see in this story, we see a very marvelous and miraculous delivery of 3 men who trusted in God. But tonight we're not going to look at their delivery, but we're rather going to look at their faith. Because they did exercise faith here. And their faith was strong. It was certain. And it made absolutely no difference to them what the circumstances were, whether or not they had that faith. Now, I will say at the beginning here, if you guys can hear this, you read in the scriptures about faith being tried. When we try something, what we are doing when we test something is we are finding out if there's any value to it. If we put something to the test, we are finding out if it stands the test. Testing something that stands the test does not hurt the thing tested. It just proves to us that it is what we wanted it to be. If something is tested and is hurt during the testing, we have found it to be flawed and therefore worthless for what we are looking for. When God tests our faith, if our faith wavers or fails under testing, then it's because we didn't have the faith God wanted us to have. True faith, the real kind of faith, is not something that is hurt by testing. So, when we are talking about faith, if you have faith in God, not in man, not in your church, not in your dad, not in your wife, not in your lawyer, not in your business, job, whatever you want to say, if your faith is truly in God, then that faith remains the same no matter what circumstance you find yourself in life. It does not matter if there is piles of money in the bank, everything that you could want you own, you have no debt, you have a perfect family, you have a perfect church, you have a perfect job. If you're in that situation and you have faith, and the next day you are in the situation of Job, where everything that you had yesterday is gone today, then you still have faith. Because if you have faith in God, it is based on nothing that exists on this earth. There is nothing on this earth that can change true faith in God. If your faith in God is weaker than that point, it is not the kind of faith that God has asked every one of us to put in Him. If you are sitting here tonight, there might be some of you sitting here that haven't gotten married yet, and you would like to find a wife or a husband, or if you are sitting here tonight and you have found a wife or a husband, and you wish you hadn't. Or if you are sitting here tonight and you are happily married, if you have faith in God, none of those circumstances have anything to do with your faith in God. If you are here tonight and Donald Trump happens to be the president of our country and you hate his guts, it has absolutely nothing to do with your faith in God. And if you were sitting here tonight and Hillary Clinton happened to be the president of our country, it would have nothing to do with our faith in God. Because our faith in God is not based on the circumstances of the things around us. Now listen to what these three men said when they were faced with the fact that Nebuchadnezzar says he's throwing them into a furnace to be burnt up if they don't bow down and worship his image. This is their second chance. They were already told that once. They already didn't bow down when they heard the music. Now they've been accused to the king, and now Nebuchadnezzar tells them again. He's going to give them another chance. When you hear the music, bow down. If you don't bow down, you're going into the furnace. And this is what they say. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. These three men seem to have the belief that God would take care of them in this trial and that Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't actually get to destroy them. But that belief was shaking a little bit right then. But their belief in God was not shaking at all. Their belief in God remained absolute and strong and solid. They didn't know for sure if God was going to deliver them or not. But one thing they knew for certain was that they were not going to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's God. That's what they knew for sure. And so standing here before a king who was mighty enough to build an image out of gold that was standing before them, how tall was this thing? 90 feet? 60 feet? Three score cubits. It was a tall thing, whatever. And he was built out of solid gold. And they're standing here before the author of this image. And he says he's going to put them in the fire. And they say, you know, I guess you can if you want to. And whether God is going to deliver us or whether he's not going to deliver us, we're not listening to you. That is where so many Christians go wrong, is when they let this puny little world push them around or lead them around instead of standing up for God. But this was their faith. They didn't know what God was going to do with them, and they didn't care. They still had faith in God. Many times we get hung up on an incorrect view of faith, where we believe that if we have faith for something, we can be assured that we are going to get this thing that we are looking for. Well, the fact of the matter is, God never gave you permission to have faith for anything that was outside of his will. And if you are going to take Jesus' words, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. If you're going to take those words of Jesus, we're also going to take the words of Jesus that we're going to be submitted to the will of God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there's no such thing as getting the kind of faith that can move a mountain into the sea unless that faith is based on the certain knowledge of the will of God. But we can have that extent of faith as an absolute, unwavering, unchanging part of our life in God, regardless of the circumstances. And while we sit down here and we pray for a specific thing, what we don't know is what God is seeing marked out already as a path for us. And you know, you put it down, there's one thing that God's going to do that is more certain than answer your prayers. He's going to scourge every son whom he receives. More certain than answer your prayers, he is going to turn you into what he wants you to be. That is way more certain than that your prayers would ever be answered. And if you notice, and we're going to get off the basic earthly subject here and start applying some of the things that happened to this chapter to the Christian life. So I want you to notice that these three men got cast into a fire. Now the fact of the matter is, we understand God's fire in our lives. When God puts us into his fire, it's for purification purposes. But remember what I said at the beginning. When we test something that is able to bear up to the test that we put it to, we do not hurt the item through the test. You only destroy an item when if you take a board and you see how much weight it can hold, and you put 200 pounds on it and it breaks, you destroy it because it couldn't hold it. But if it's able to take what you are testing it for, it does not hurt the board at all. It remains the same quality piece of lumber as before you put the weight on it. And so we see, in, as these three men go into the furnace, they get bound. They get dropped into a furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than they usually heated it. The people who put them in the furnace die on the spot because the heat is so great. And they fall down into the midst of the fire. But it says in verse 25, lo, I see 4 men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. How many of you guys have felt in the past like the things that God has led you through have hurt you? Have you felt like God is hurting you? Brandon, you probably should come up here and finish the sermon for me. Because you know, the things that the fire hurts when God puts us in the fire are the things that we were supposed to have already given up. And that's why God put us in the fire. And if you're holding on to something that God told you not to hold on to, and He had to burn it out of your hand, your arm, your body wasn't what got hurt. It was the thing you were holding to that got burnt. The men here in the fire didn't have any hurt. And so it is in a true Christian life. The further you get, and I'm not, don't hold yourself to a standard that is beyond the realm of human possibility here. Just look at Christ. The further you get to be made like Christ, when He went to the cross, He was hurting. There was some hurt going on inside. There was some pain. There was also a very, very, very great calm and peace. If you can get that far in your life, that when God can come to you and take your very life away from you, and it doesn't affect you any worse than it affected the Lord, then you have perfected your faith. So here they are, these three men walking around in the furnace, and the Son of God has come to visit with them. Now the fact of the matter is, God says that we should abide in the vine all the time. We always have the Son of God with us. We always have the presence of God with us. We always have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. But specifically during the times of trial, sometimes it's more real to us. And we see Him walking there. And inside of that fire, there was something that man had put on those three people. Now, in reality, there's two things. One was physical, and one was a commandment. The commandment that man had put on those people was that they were to serve His image. But the physical thing that man had put on those three people was ropes. Bondage in two different forms. One, a bondage of the life. The other, a bondage of the body. And in the fire, they lost both of those. In the fire, it started with the ropes. And I want you to imagine being in there when the fire's heated so hot that the people who threw you in died on the spot. And you can look down at your feet and at your hands, whatever, however they were tied, and you can see those ropes in flames burning off of you. You're loose now. And you felt the tightness of those ropes cramping your life. You felt that. When you're tied up, you're not tied loosely. You're tied tight. The circulation is being cut off by those ropes that have been put on you. How does the fire know that it got through the rope and it got to your coat and it was supposed to stop there? How does the fire know? Nebuchadnezzar built that fire. His men built that fire. Every time you go through the trials that God puts into your life, some man did it. But it was still intended of God. And God had the ability to take those ropes off, set those three people free, and not have the colors of their coats changed, not have one hair on their body singed, and no smell of smoke as they came out of the furnace. But they came out of the furnace victorious. Because the Nebuchadnezzar, the king, said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses made a dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sort." You know, there's been many people in the history of the world that have died for their faith that weren't delivered after that sort. There have been many people who have stood and been burnt at the commandment of the rulers, and they have died in the fire. And what we are looking for in to have faith in God, what we are looking for is not the belief that He's going to get us out of the thing that we are in that we don't like, but rather the belief in God, regardless of the fact that we're in the thing that we don't like. That's where faith is real. Before these three men were threatened with the fire, they were first called to go to the sacrifice of the king. They had to have faith in God to leave their homes and go to the party that the king had invited them to. They had to have faith to go. They knew what kind of a king he was. They knew what kind of trouble was likely to be there. They didn't know what circumstance they would be in the next day. But they found themselves there. The Bible says that Moses, by faith, went out from Pharaoh's house, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. He left Pharaoh's house and went to join himself with the people of God by faith. He also delivered the whole nation of Israel by faith. He stood up before Pharaoh by faith. He worked miracles by faith. He led the people through the wilderness for 40 years by faith. Now, if Moses left Pharaoh's house by faith, and every other thing that we know about in recorded in the scripture he did by faith, somebody tell me whether or not he spent the 40 years in the desert feeding the sheep by faith or not. I know more Christians that fail on that spot than about any other, because it got too boring. But the fact of the matter was, God had put it in Moses' heart to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. And before Moses could deliver the people of Israel, God had to deliver Moses from Moses. It had to happen. Moses walked out into the wilderness as an able man who could do anything. And he walked back into Egypt as a humble servant of God who would do what God told him to do. And if God hadn't made Moses into that people, the children of Israel would still be sitting in Egypt waiting for deliverance. Because only somebody would have been able to do what happened there if they had been someone who could implicitly obey God no matter what he said. And those 40 years were as necessary in the deliverance of the children of Israel as the next 40 years while they wandered in the wilderness. Moses fed those sheep by faith. Listen to these words that the dictionary says are synonyms to boring. Tedious, dull, monotonous, repetitive, unrelieved, unvaried, unimaginative, uneventful. I can hear some young people sitting in this room right now saying, demanding that those words are not going to describe their lives. But you might have to exercise faith in God through many years of just that kind of a life, or leave God and go out with the people who love and worship the devil. You might have that choice. Why do we have to wait 40 years for God to get Moses ready? Some of us parents who know good how to discipline children could have turned that Moses around in six days, 1 week. Give me 1 week with that man and I'll humble him. That's how I've heard some parents talk. Took God 40 years because God was not working on getting Moses to submit specifically to him. God was working to remake the inside of Moses' life and character. And there's some people here who would like to skip that part in their lives. You know, the fact of the matter is, you can, if you will, you can get up and say, I am not doing nothing with my life. I am going out. I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be somebody. The likelihood is that you will accomplish less with your life than the person who just sits back and says, God, whatever you say. Because God has a bigger open door there. Now, I'm not against zeal. I don't have a problem with somebody full of energy and faith and life who wants to bring the gospel to a world that is without hope. If God has called you to do that, go kill an Egyptian. But after you're done, run to the wilderness because they're going to be after you. Because in your own understanding of what's right to do, you're going to mess things up. You see, it wasn't actually God that sent Moses to the wilderness. Moses sent himself there. But it was of God. I sometimes struggle to find things to speak on. I think I'm learning a little bit. I never have an easy time speaking on any subject unless I need it. It's like I have to be in a stage where I'm learning something to be able to speak on it. I don't know why that would be. But sometimes I feel like that Moses. It would appear and looking at the things that I wished that I could do for God when I was 15, that I could have gotten a little further in life than I have. And I look at some of my friends, some of the people I know, and I wonder how they get the opportunities they get and why I don't. But I can tell you one thing. I did, years and years and years ago, I did put my faith in God, not my circumstances. And there is no such thing as a faith that is based in your circumstances or on what God is doing for you. There's no, that is not true faith. God has not promised that He will keep a king from threatening you with fire. And He has not promised that if the king threatens you with fire, that you're going to be delivered from the fire. He has not made you those promises. But when Jesus, I'll turn there, Mark 11. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus had come to a fig tree. And He found nothing thereon. And He says in verse 14, it says, Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Now, down in verse 20, it says, In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Now, this is the passage that we love to turn to when we are trying to boost our faith because we want something from God. We want a boost of faith because we want Him to do something for us. We want to be able to go to God and get something from Him. But you know what Jesus did not say in this passage was curse the fig tree. He said, have faith in God. He did not say that if you curse the fig tree and have faith in God, it will wither away. But He did say, have faith in God. And this word of the Lord that He spoke has come down to us where there are no fig trees. And there are no mountains, as verse 23 talks about. He says, have faith in God. And it does not matter what is sitting in front of you, what is around you. It does not matter what your husband is like. It does not matter what your wife is like. It doesn't matter what your relatives are doing to you. It doesn't matter what the neighbor's dog is doing to you. It does not matter what is happening at work. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what is going on. The verse still applies to you in your particular situation. Have faith in God. And that verse applies to you whether you stay in that situation or whether you are delivered out of that situation. It still applies to your life. Have faith in God. Because it is said to everybody now, have faith in God. And it is not limited to circumstances. There's a prayer in Psalm 25 that says, don't let me be ashamed. But when Jesus came to this earth, they shamed Him. If we should pray to God that He will keep us from shame, that our enemies won't get the upper hand over us, that we will be delivered, if we should pray that to God, then how come the only Son of God, His only begotten Son, came here and was shamed? And He kept His faith. What we want to have sitting here along with our faith is a surrender to the will of God. And if we are accosted by God in our own backyard and He says, go preach to Nineveh, we have faith in God. If we're on a ship in the midst of the storm, we have faith in God. If we're sinking to the bottom of the sea, we have faith in God. And if we're in the belly of a whale, we have faith in God. And then when the whale's throwing up, we have faith in God. And when God comes to us again and says, go to Nineveh, we have faith in God. You know, Jonah could have prevented some of those issues from his life if he had obeyed God. But the one thing that Jonah did all the while that he went through that terrible trial, the one thing that Jonah did was he kept believing. That's what made him a prophet. That's what made Jonah a man of God. He wasn't a very good man. He was kind of naughty. Kind of like some of the people in this church. But he went and he saved a whole city from the judgment of God through his preaching, because he was a man of faith. So those three men, I just got to tell you one more thing about this passage. Change the subject completely. You know, when God is sending His people through the fire and they come out of the fire on the other side, He's taking away the things He doesn't want His people to have and leaving them with the things that are in His will. You know, they all came out with their clothes on. I think that would be good for the modern church to think about. You know, God didn't have to keep the fire from burning their clothes off of them to keep them safe that day, but He did. And they would have been completely modest in the eyes of most of modern Christianity if He had burnt everything but their underwear. But God has a higher standard than the church around us. I have no doubt about it that when they came out with their clothes on, there had been a miraculous intervention by God between their clothes and the fire, protecting something that was of God. Now, I thought there was something else in here that I wanted to cover, but it is now out of my thoughts. So we will close in prayer. Father, we are thankful that that You are a God that we can trust. And we are thankful that You know everything and that You know our circumstances. And Father, thank You that You are in control of our circumstances. I do ask tonight that you would help us to order our faith according to your word, and that our faith would be placed in you, and that it would not waver when it is tested, that it would not waver by the things that happen to us, that we would give you glory and that we would show your glory to the world. Amen.